You have your Bibles today. We're not going to Luke. We're going to go to Joshua chapter 5. When Joe asked me to preach for him this week, so he was taking a well-deserved weekend off. It was before the floods came. And then the floods came and I mean, my mind, I had, well, we could do this, we could do this, could do this, could do this. But I'll tell you, every time I went to look for one of those things, it just was not to be found. And so, like, okay, God, I'm asking you to show me, and so you got to show me. So God led me to Joshua chapter 5, frankly, to some verses that, I'll be honest, I did not even remember being in the Scripture. Really didn't. But then God showed me these verses and said, these are what you need to speak on. You need to preach on. They're in Joshua chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Now it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the army of the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals. Take the sandals off your foot, for your place which you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. We're going to go into chapter 6 and read just a couple of verses there. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Let's pray. Almighty God, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence, we realize that, Lord, you are greater than anything that we can ever imagine. You spoke, and the worlds came into existence. Through you, everything that is was created. You are the ones who created each and every one of us. Not only did you create us, Lord, but Lord, you are also the one who gives us everything that we need. You sustain our lives every day. You provide for us. And you care for us. And you cared for us so much that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for whosoever would believe upon him. A love like that, Lord, we find incomprehensible. But Lord, you loved us that much. Lord, you know everything that's going on here. You know all the needs. You know all the hurts. You know the praises. You know the pains. And Lord, we have brought you our prayer list. And we give them to you knowing that you will work according to your will. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us where we've sinned and fallen short. Pray, Lord, that you would take and that you would fill us with your Spirit to be the people that you've called us to be. And we pray, Lord, that you will bless this time that we spend together, that you will speak to our hearts and to our minds, and that we will do what it is you have called each and every one of us to do. Bless this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What has happened before this short section of verses here is the children of Israel in the book of Jericho have taken, and they have crossed over the Jordan River. The priests put their feet in the water, or went to put their feet in the water, and the water parted, and the whole of Israel crossed over on dry ground. And they got to the other side. They stopped their flood. God stopped that. He got it over. They set up camps and put out memorial stones, the Ebenezer. I will here raise my Ebenezer. That's what it was. That's their memorial stones that they set on the other side, showing this was the place where they crossed. They have taken now, and they are in a place called Gilgal, which is probably really close to Jericho. And they've done two things in this chapter here preceding. One, they circumcised everybody. It's kind of strange how the children of Israel, for 40 years, they wander around out in the wilderness, and they see the pillar of fire at night and the pillar of cloud by day, and they followed this thing for 40 years, and the presence of God is literally right there. But for these 40 years, they're really not the best people in the world. It was truly by the grace of God that he let them live that long, because they had disobeyed when he told them, go into the land. And I go, well, they got the giant people in there. We can't go in there and do... And so it was God's grace that gave them 40 years. But that old generation, except for Caleb and Joshua, had all died off. And so they circumcised all the males in the nation. And then they celebrated the Passover. And the quail and the manna was gone. And they ate off of the fruit of the land. And so now they're camped outside of Jericho. And as they are camped outside there, and Joshua has now feels the weight of responsibility that used to be on Moses upon him, he's like, okay, how are we going to take down this city whose walls are like 30 feet thick and they're 20 feet tall, and how are we going to do this? And as he is walking around with this weight upon his shoulders, in his walking around, he comes, and here is a man standing there, and he has his sword drawn. Now, when you have your sword drawn, there's a purpose for that. You're either going to defend yourself, or you're going to attack somebody. At least that's what Joshua was thinking. So here's this guy, this person. And he says, behold, the man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? In other words, whose side are you on? Are you on my side or are you on those people's side? And he gives to me what is a very strange answer. So he said, no. Wait a minute. No? You're not on my side? You're not on their side? Whoa, what? When we face problems, when situations come along to us, our mind almost naturally goes into a us or them, my problem, your problem, kind of thought like that. I know I do. I'll be honest, I'm human, I do. And that's what Joshua was thinking. Are you on my side? You look like you'd be a good fighter. Are you on my side? Or are you on those? They sent you out here to do a duel or something like that beforehand. And he responds, no. And then he continues, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. See, in this, Joshua was not by himself. God had taken Joshua at the beginning of the book and has said, you know, I'm anointing you. You're the guy that's over the people. You're going to lead them like Moses did. I'm going to be with you. And if you read that first chapter, I don't remember exactly how many times it is, but he tells him, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What happens when problems hit us? What is it that we do? Are we strong and courageous? Are we, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? What's our options here? What can we? The commander of the army of the Lord shows up here to say, I've come. You're not in this by yourself. And all the things that we face in our life, we are not in it by ourselves unless we have turned our back on God. He's there with us. When the commander of the army of the Lord, well, listen, I'm going to stop here for a second. The question is, who is this commander? Who is this commander? I say it is the pre-incarnate Christ who's come down to earth. Probably the same one that came to Abraham back there and said, with the two angels, and said, you know, we're going to come back next year and there's going to be a baby. I think that's who it is. I think that's who's the one that is, because of Joshua's reaction. He fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? Some say that this is, the Eastern Church will tell you that this is the angel Michael. But see, angels aren't to be worshiped. Only the Lord is to be worshiped. And even if you go back in the book of Revelation and read in there, when John falls down in the midst of his vision, the angel gets, stand up, stand up. You don't fall down and worship me. So the Lord has come. The Lord himself had come to Joshua. And Joshua recognized it and fell down on his face. Then the commander of the Lord said, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals, off your foot, for the place that you stand is holy. Whenever God is with us, that place is holy. So it should be every place that we are at should be holy, separate for the Lord. Joshua fell down on his face and he worshiped, because he knew that this enterprise that he was about to undertake was not something that he could do himself. And a lot of things that go on, we can't do ourselves. For some of us, we're still wondering, you know, we're still waiting for things because of what's happened around here. There's people here that don't have, some people don't have any home because their home literally washed down a river. Some people still don't have power. We still don't have water. Some people don't have anything at all. But the thing is, as long as we still have the Lord, that's what we need. When he says, no, but as the commander of the Lord, I have come, he was also telling Joshua, you're really second in command. You're not the guy over this. I'm the one over this. I'll be with you. I'll guide you. I'll direct you. But you're second in command. You're the one that's going to tell the people what to do. But I'm the one telling you. In the military, it's important to have a chain of command. Because you start at the top with, here's what the mission is and what we want to accomplish. And then it goes down to make sure that all those things happen. It's really not any different with us. God has sent a lot of his general orders, so to speak, here in his word. And what are those things? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. If we do those things, then we have fulfilled all of the law. He tells us what he wants us to do. To love. Because love can conquer all things. So Joshua takes and he falls down, and the commander tells him, you're on holy ground. And this is like when Moses saw the burning bush. As he was walking, he said, how is that bush burning, but it's not being consumed? And he walks over, and this bush, God speaks to him, it seems like out of the bush, and says, you're on holy ground. Those are holy times when we are in the presence of God, when we're speaking. And every time should be a holy time. So Joshua did what he was told. He took off his sandals. And then the commander, they changed, it's kind of, they shouldn't have put it in there. When they were dividing up chapters in the Bible, which if you go to the original text, there's no chapter breaks or anything like that. It just flows right through. Here they put in a chapter break here for chapter 6. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because the children of Israel, none of them went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hands, into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. If you go ahead and you keep reading, he tells them exactly what the marching orders are. For 6 days, you're going to take, the priests are going to have the trumpets in their hands, and they're going to blow the trumpets. You're going to carry the Ark of the Covenant towards the back. The people are going to go, and you all are going to march around the city once a day for 6 days. And then on that last day, you're going to march around it seven times. And then they're going to blow the trumpets, and the people are going to shout. The wall's going to fall down, and you're going to conquer the city. I didn't hear anything in there about arrows, catapults, flaming oil, anything like that. Why? Because this victory was to be God's victory. And sometimes God will take and tell us just to trust Him. Let Him lead. Let Him do. Not for us to go and like, let me see what I can do. I can do this. I can do this. We're to do those things when God tells us. He may do that in a feeling, in this, through the Holy Spirit that says, you have this talent. You need to go do this. But see, the thing is, the victories are God's. The commander came to say, Joshua, this is not, you're coming to do this, and you're setting all this up, and you're going to be a great military hero. He came to him to say, I'm the one leading the army. As you look into the conquest of the people of Israel, one of the things that happens is, what causes them to fail? Because they'll have this great victory here at Jericho, but they're going to go to a little town next called Ai, and they fail. Why? Because somebody didn't do it the way that God wanted it done. He specifically tells them in verse 18, and by all means abstain from all accursed things, lest you become accursed when you take the accursed thing and make trouble and make a camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. When sin comes in, then there's problems. They would lose the next one. They would find out who did it, and they would be punished. The good thing for us is, we've all screwed up. We've all made mistakes. Every person in this room has sinned daily, somehow, probably, at least, to be kind, right? Because we all know. But Jesus died on that cross. Jesus died on the cross to offer salvation to everyone. the same Jesus that came and stood here before Joshua and said, Joshua, it's not about you. This is what God's plan is. That's why he answered no. It's not about you or about them. It's about what God wants, what God's plan is. And so Jesus Christ died on that cross. And the thing is, we have salvation through him and forgiveness of our sins and hope, which is probably what people need more than anything right now, is hope. A lot of people. A friend of mine had on the bottom of all his emails one of those little tag things, and he said, never take anybody's hope, because that may be the only thing they have. I think there's some people out there right now that are, hope is getting very small for them. Even though the Israelites numbered 600,000 men, they had a vast territory that they were to take over, that God wanted them to take over, to be their homeland. And the thing was, they had to do it God's way. It's interesting, when you get to the book of Judges, what is the book of Judges all about? It's about all the different failures that the Israelites had in different places, and God would raise up a judge that would pull them out of one problem until the next judge came along to pull them out of another problem. If we keep the commander of the army of the Lord in front of us all the time, and say, Lord, it's not about me, but what is it that you want? We keep our feet on holy ground, and we listen to him, then we can have the victory, we can have the hope, and we have the salvation that is given through Jesus Christ. Let's live in that hope, and let's live in being the people that God has called us to be, and follow him. Let's pray. Our Lord, we thank you that you come and that you are that strong and steady one that is always there. You are our hope, you are our strength, and you are our guide. And Lord, you are our salvation. Lord, we have no hope outside of you. But Lord, with you, we know that there is nothing that is impossible. So Lord, let us stand in rank and just say, Lord, which way do you want us to go? And be constantly in tune to you, following you and your way. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to find you as their Lord and Savior, or needs to make a decision, Lord, be with them. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.